الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما الحياة الدنيا إلا متاع الغرور. وقال الله تعالى في مقام آخر: ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this life on this earth, this dunya. And the end of this life is also known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every single thing about our life, Allah ta'ala knows. But Allah ta'ala has left the journey up to you and me. So all the difficulties that are going to come into your life for the next 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, whatever risk you will get in your life, Allah knows. Whatever studies you will do, Allah knows. Whatever failures you will have to face, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that. The only question is that how are we going to travel this journey called the dunya? Some people will travel this journey through the path of patience, gratitude, zikr, shukr, sabr, love, muhabbat for Allah. And a second person will travel that same journey of the dunya through shikwa, ghaflat, sin, distance from Allah, complaints. Both of their ends have been determined, but Allah Ta'ala has left the journey up to us. For example, when we are traveling in the plane, all of us are going to the same destination, the same end. It's just a question of how you want to spend that ride. You want to be a good passenger, or you want to be a rowdy passenger. You want to be a happy traveler, or you want to be an unhappy traveler. So what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to realize is that this dunya will have an end. And the end for us is not the death. If the end was death, then this dunya would be a very confusing thing. That's why people who think that the end is death, they're extremely confused about life. And the reason it confuses them is because for them, the end is death. But in the deen of Islam, the end is not death. The end is akhirah. The end is eternity. The end is endless life. There's actually no end in Islam. And the beginning of that end is to meet Allah Ta'ala. Mulaqat with Allah. Now if we view our life like that, that the purpose of my life is not to reach the end, not to reach the day when I die. But the purpose of my life is to reach that day when I will meet Allah Ta'ala. Then you will have a totally different experience of life, totally different experience of this dunya. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to ask you on that day about the difficulties or the successes or the failures. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to ask you on that day that how did you spend that ride? That's the question. That how did you spend that ride of called the dunya? Along with the difficulties, did you still remember me? In times of happiness, did you still love me? Did you still worship me? Or did you spend that ride called the dunya in a state of ignorance, in a state of heedlessness, in a state of absent-mindedness? That's it. That's the question. That's what the deen of Islam came to teach us, how to spend that journey, how to spend that ride, how to spend this ride called the dunya. The mu'min, the kafir, men, women, young, old, both have to go through that same life, same journey. They both have to go through the difficulties of life. The only difference is that how do you spend this journey? And that is why, in addition now to shaitan and nafs, so we spoke about these two enemies last time. In addition to shaitan and our nafs, there are two other enemies. And I'm going to do both of them together today. Two other things that keep us away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number one, there's the dunya, and number two, makhluk or creation, people. And you can say the dunya, the world, and creation. Dunya and makhluk. And the way dunya and makhluk keep us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, keep us away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is, this is very important, that they make us forget how to spend this journey. And they try to deceive us about the end of this journey. That's it. When you begin to think that the purpose of life, when we think that the purpose of life is not to meet Allah, but we think that the purpose of my life is to get something in the dunya, that's the purpose, whether it's the money, whether it is status, it's the bank, it's the distinction, then we will forget the adab of that journey, the etiquettes of traveling that journey. And when you forget that the end of the life, the purpose of life is to meet Allah Ta'ala, when the dunya deceives us about the end, and we forget that the purpose is to meet Allah, then other things will come up and will take our passions. So some people become overly passionate about their job. Some people are overly passionate about their career. Some overly passionate about their ambitions, overly ambitious, overly passionate about their family. That's why in Quran, Allah Ta'ala said that sometimes your spouse and your children are a test for you, fitna. They're a fitna for you. In what sense? You know, otherwise, your spouse and children are a blessing. They're a bounty for you. But there is a slight chance that you might forget that the end is the meeting with Allah. And you might become overly passionate about them. So someone might say that I will take a rishwat for the sake of my spouse or for my children. I will disobey Allah Ta'ala in so many ways for the sake of my wife and children. That means that they exceeded. They became overly passionate and they forgot the end. They forgot the meeting with Allah. So the dunya and makhluk, this world and the creation in it, that is how they distract us, by making us overly passionate about other things and forgetting about the end. They distract us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Acha, nafs and shaitan, they don't distract you from Allah. Let me say this in Urdu. You know, ye kuch 15-20 saalon ka 15 saal at least, you know, 12-13 saal ka tajruba that we have learned from our own teachers, our ulama and mashayikh, jin unka 30-40 saal ka tajruba hai. That these things, this is a fine secret, a fine point, which, you know, after years of experience of, you know, we understand how these things operate. Right, these things, you know, that our mashayikh, our scholars, our ulama, they've explained this in a very beautiful way, that the shaitan and the nafs, they do not distract you from Allah. But dunya and makhluk distract you from Allah. Acha, what does nafs and shaitan do? Nafs and shaitan, they will involve you in sin. This sin, that sin, some other sin, insisting on one sin, or some other, that's what nafs and shaitan do. They want you to get to do some sin, given to your bad desire. But you will still feel the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You might be engaging in sin, but you will still feel some muhabba for Allah in your heart. The nafs will involve you in sin, but even though you did that sin, you won't lose your yaqeen in Allah ta'ala. Shaitan will put a waswasa in your heart, you will still feel love for Allah Ta'ala. So shaitan and nafs, they will make you do some sin, they will increase your bad side, but they cannot diminish your good side. But dunya and makhluk, they diminish your good side. They try to disconnect you from Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as a result, a person gets lost in the dunya. They lose that good relationship, that good ta'alluq, that good connection they had with Allah. Acha, what is dunya? Anything can be dunya. Dunya is not the name of money or wealth in Islam. You can be extremely wealthy and you can have zero dunya. And you can be very poor and you can be completely lost in the dunya. What is dunya? Dunya can be anything that is ghairullah. Anything that is other than Allah that distracts you from Allah. This is the key. Some people are very wealthy, but it doesn't distract them from Allah. That's why that person has zero dunya. And on the other hand, a person might be very poor, has nothing, but he's completely distracted from Allah, lost in the dunya, thinking about the dunya, far away and distant from Allah. So it's not about what you have, it's about anything that is ghairullah, but that distracts you from Allah. That is dunya. So for some people, their studies can be dunya. For some people, teaching can be their dunya. Anything can be dunya. Anything that is ghairullah, other than Allah, that distracts you from Allah, that keeps you away from Allah. That is dunya. That is the definition of dunya in Islam. And that is why now the ayah which I just recited at the beginning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught us in the Quran that وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَكُولُ, that from among them is that who says, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَا وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us a dua in Quran that we should make this dua. I think most of us already know this dua. But we want to think about what exactly is this dua teaching us. What are the words of this dua? Rabbana, O our Rabb, Atina, grant us, give to us, fi dunya hasana, give us in this world that which is hasan, that which is excellent, that which is good, that which is pure. Wa fil akhirah, and Allah grant us in the akhirah, hasana, wa fil akhirati hasana, and in the akhirah grant us those things which are good, wa qina azab an-nar, and protect us from the punishment of the fire. Now this is a misunderstanding, and especially in Pakistan many people have this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in the Quran ki dunya akhirat dono mango, that ask Allah for dunya and akhirat both. No, Allah is not saying that ask for dunya and akhirat both. Allah is saying ask for the hasanat of the dunya and the hasanat of the akhirah. Allah is saying explicitly, clearly about the hasana. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana. Not Rabbana atina dunya. Allah Ta'ala could have said that. But Allah says Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana. Allah grant us the hasanat of the dunya. Don't grant us the dunya. Don't grant us that dunya which will distract us from you. Grant us the hasanat of the dunya. Hasanat are those things which will not distract us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So hasanat is not that negative dunya. Those people, therefore, when they make this dua, so they're asking for deen and dunya, the hasanat of the deen and the dunya, both the hasanat of deen and akhirah. So these were the people who took the noble things of this world. They were asking Allah Ta'ala to grant them the noble, the virtuous, the pure, the excellent, the hasana things of this world. They took these things from this world. These were those things that do not distract from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And along with that, they were firm on their deen. And they were always thinking about their akhirah. They were asking Allah for akhirah. وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَا وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. So that is a dua we should also make to Allah, that Allah save us from the deception of this dunya. So another ayah which I recited at the beginning, Allah says that this dunya can be وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاءُ الْغُرُورِ, that this worldly life, that life which distracts a person from Allah, this is just a deception. Mata'ul ghurur. Ghurur. It's a delusion. It's a deception. And this world, the deception is such that you sort of, people who are not intelligent, it's not that only they're deceived. But even sometimes people are very literate, very intelligent with degrees. We become deceived. We are deceived by the worldly life, by the glamour and the glitter of this life. So, achhe likhe, padhe likhe bandon ko dhoka lag jata hai. And we forget that the manzil, the destination, the goal at the end is akhirah. And a person gets overly preoccupied with the dunya. So, one ayat Allah Ta'ala is teaching us that don't be deluded, be deceived by the worldly life. And on the other ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us that make dua for the hasanat of this dunya. Ask Allah for the dunya, but the hasanat. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina azab an-nar. Let me give you a story about this, the hasanat of the dunya. There was a very famous ruler by the name of Harun Rashid, a khalifa, and he had a very pious wife by the name of Zubaydah Khatun. Zubaydah Khatun was such a pious woman that she had hired several hundred hafizat, several hundred women who were hafiza Quran, and she made three shifts during the day, during 24 hours. Three 8-hour shifts. But this was not a three-shift work to acquire the dunya. The purpose of this three-shift workforce was to recite Quran in every single corner of the royal palace. Because she wanted that anytime she walks anywhere in the palace, she wanted to be able to hear Quran. And this was before the speaker system. So the entire palace, the entire royal court, with all of the attendants, all of the staff, all the other people who used to live there, in every single place she had put a hafiza. So that there was no single place where you could walk where she would not be able to hear the Quran. In no time of the day, no time of the night, where she could walk and she could not hear the Quran. And now this, whatever money she must have had to be able to hire those people, that money was not dunya. That money was the hasanat of the dunya. That money was the love she had for the Quran. Her love for the Quran. She was getting akhira because of that. Earning her akhira. And she had so much love. She had so much love for the Quran. And then she had so much love for the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Makhluk. That between her place in Iraq and Makkah Mukarramah, when the people of that area, they used to travel for Hajj, and on the way there was a piece of very, very dry Arab desert land where there was no water, absolutely no water whatsoever. And that was considered to be the most difficult part of that journey. And just for that part of the journey, they used to take so much water with them. Even the camels would need to drink on that journey. So they themselves would sometimes do tayammum. They wouldn't be able to make wudu. But they had to carry that water for the sake of their camels, and they had to carry drinking water for themselves. So just that part of the journey itself was so difficult that some people, either they would die on the way, they would become shaheed on the way for going to Hajj. So she learned of this. She found out. And she told her husband that I want to divert part of the water of the river that was flowing. And I want to divert part of that river water over here. And I want to make a canal. What me and you would call like a canal. So that when the Hujjaj are traveling through that area, they will have access to water. They will drink for themselves. They will have water for their camels. Now, this was a massive project, even by modern standards of engineering, to divert water of a river to some other place and make a canal. So Harun Rashid, expended a lot of wealth, a lot of resources to do so. And we can only imagine it must have been an incredible amount of money and resources and labor and brick and cement. Allahu Alam, right? None of that was dunya. And they did it, right? And they did it and they earned their akhirah because of that. Such a big khidmat of the makhluk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Acha, in that time when they were living, there was also a very big sheikh, a very big wali of Allah, a friend of Allah by the name of Behlul Rahmatullah Alayh. Behlul, he was known for two things. Number one, for being a friend of Allah, a wali. And number two, for appearing to be slightly crazy. Right? Seeming to be crazy. You sometimes say in English that looks can be deceiving. So he was known for two things, being a wali of Allah, and number two, appearing to be slightly crazy. Khair, one day Harun Rashid and Zubaydah Khatun both were walking. They went for a walk on the beach. And they saw that on the beach there was Behlul. And Behlul was making sand castles. Maze mein, you know, you, just like kids, they make sand castles, right? Putting mud and making a castle. And he was calling out that whoever buys this sand castle for one dinar, I'll make dua, then may Allah Ta'ala give them a house in Jannah, a mansion, a palace in Jannah. Whoever buys my palace in this sand for one dinar, I'll make dua that Allah Ta'ala will grant him a palace in Jannah. So Harun Rashidi walked by, he laughed at him. He said, Behlul, what are you doing making these sand castles? He walked on. Zubaydah Khatun, she stopped. She took out one dinar and she said, Behlul, I want to buy your castle and make dua that Allah Ta'ala grant me a palace in Jannah. Behlul took that one dinar and he made dua. That night, when Harun Rashid went to sleep, he had a dream. And in that dream, he saw a huge palace in Jannah made up of marble and all incredible things. And on top of that palace, there was a nameplate on which it said Zubaydah. So he went and he showed up. And there was a guard standing on the door. And the guard said, no admission without permission, right? Entry is reserved. So he said, no, I'm her husband. I'm her husband. So the guard said, no. The rules in Jannah are a bit different. Only that person for whom this palace has been made, the name, only that person can come in. Acha, after this dream, Harun Rashid, he woke up. And he thought that, okay, I'd better make some time out today and go visit Behlul again and buy one of those sand castles. So again, Zubaydah Khatun and Harun Rashid, they went for a walk in the evening. And again, lo and behold, they found Behlul on that beach. And again, Behlul was making those sand castles. And again, saying that whoever buys his sand castle, I'll make dua that may Allah Ta'ala grant them a palace in Jannah. So Harun Rashid became happy. He went there. He took out one dinar and was about to give it to Behlul. And at that time, Behlul said, Harun Rashid, it's no longer going to cost you one dinar. Harun Rashid, it's no longer going to cost you one dinar. It's going to cost you the kingdom of the entire earth. Aboto didn't even have that entire kingdom. So Harun Rashid then asked him that, Behlul, that yesterday you were saying that who will buy this castle from me for one dinar? And now you are saying that if I give you the whole world, still you will not be able to give me the sand castle? Why? What's the reason? So Behlul then replied, and this is the punchline. I'll say this in Urdu, then I'll translate this into English. He said, ke kal bin dekhe sauda tha, aaj ab dekh kar aaye. Kal bin dekhe sauda tha, aaj ab dekh kar aaye. That yesterday, it was unseen. Today, you have seen it. Exactly in the same way is our iman. Iman bil ghaib. Iman in Allah Ta'ala. You have not seen Allah Ta'ala. You will see Allah Ta'ala inshallah on that day. You have not witnessed the jamal of Allah Ta'ala, the beauty, the rahmah, the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. You will see that on that day. We haven't witnessed the jalal, the azmat, the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We'll see that on that day. So he said that if aap bin dekhe sauda karte, if yesterday without seeing, if you would have made this bargain with me, then it would have only costed you one dinar. Likewise, just a few amal, just a few acts of ibadah of a trivial 80 years life, that's what we have to offer to Allah. And in return for that, Allah Ta'ala will give you endless bliss in Akhirah, endless bliss in Jannah. And then if we don't do it now and we try to show up on that day, then Allah Ta'ala will ask us to bring something that we cannot offer. It comes in Quran, in fact, that people will beg Allah that, Ya Allah, please send us back. I've seen it. Maine dekh liya. Just send us back. Just give us one last chance. And it will be said to them, no, you can't go back. You just have one shot. One shot. And we have to start making use of this one opportunity. And what happens is that dunya distracts us. We get distracted because of the dunya, because of makhluk. Every day passes by, every month passes by, every year passes by, we grow old, right? We have to start making use of our time, valuing our time. That's what Ramadan came for. Ramadan is not the month of fasting simply. No, no. Ramadan is not the month of Eid. Ramadan is not the month of getting your Eid. Ramadan is the month where we connect with Allah Ta'ala, where we reconnect with Allah Ta'ala. We fall in love with Allah Ta'ala. We try that Allah Ta'ala will fall in love with us. That's Ramadan. Ramadan is the month of Ar-Rahman. Ramadan is the month of Ghufran. That is what this month of Ramadan is for. And if you can spend even just one month like that, even if you can spend even a few days like that, then you will begin to taste the sweetness of this path of the deen. Then we will forget all the pleasures of this dunya. We will forget all the distractions of this dunya. Even in this dunya, sometimes when we are addicted to something, the way they get you off that addiction is to take you and hook you onto something else. In America, when somebody would say that they want to quit smoking, they would ask him that, what do you like? So he would say, chewing gum. They'd say, okay, now anytime you want to smoke, you start chewing gum. Why? Because we will replace one lazzat with the other lazzat. One zenith with the other zenith. One beauty with the other beauty. So if we have led a life in which we forgot the commandments of Allah, we allowed ourselves to feel some lazzat of this dunya, the only one thing that can take us out of that, only one thing, only one thing can take us out. There's nothing else. If we want to come out, there's only one thing that can take us out. And that is if we can taste the lazzat of being the abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The lazzat of being the servant of Allah ta'ala. The lazzat of being with Allah ta'ala. Once you taste the pleasure of ibadat, once you taste the pleasure of dhikr, once you taste the pleasure of obedience, you taste the pleasure of sunnah. Only when you taste and experience the sweetness, the beauty, the zina of the life of the deen, then you will feel no need for the sweetnesses of this world, for the colors of this world, what this world has to offer. There's only one thing that can take us out. Nothing else will take us out permanently. Our shame, our regret, our nadamat, it can take us out and can bring us to that door. But after Ramadan, we can slip back into that same lifestyle. If we want a permanent exit, and if we want this Ramadan to be a complete exit, to be a complete change, that change is only by tasting and experiencing the sweetness and the beauty of Deen, the sweetness of the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sweetness of Iman, the sweetness of good amal. Once that enters our heart, then that's beyond description. And that is why there's a very beautiful dua that we can make, which is actually the wordings are there in the Quran. That Allahumma habib ilayna al-Iman. That, oh Allah, make Iman beloved to me. Allahumma habib ilayna al-Iman. وَذَيِّنْهُ فِي قُلُوبِنَا and beautify, adorn, ornament this Iman in my heart, in our hearts. And make this heart, make this Iman the zenith of my heart, the beauty of my heart. Such a beautiful dua, such a beautiful words in the Quran. Allahumma habib ilayna al-Iman. Allah grant me muhabba for this Iman. Make this Iman muhabbat, make this beloved to me. and beautify this iman in my heart, so that my heart is naturally attracted towards this iman and the life of iman. My heart is pulled towards in this direction of iman and life of iman. Beautify this for me, so that I feel that attraction, that passion, that craze, that love for iman and the life of iman. And وَكَرِّهْ إِلَيْنَا الْكُفْرَ وَالْفُسُوكَ وَالْإِسْيَانَ. And Allah, make repugnant for me kufr, yani unbelief, wal fusuk, and fisk and fusuk, vulgarity, sins, wal isyan, and the sins. Yani this kufr, fisk, and isyan, Allah, make these things despicable to me. Those things which are despicable to you, disliked by you, distasteful in you, for you, Allah, make them repugnant for me also. Grant me karahat. Yani atabi kalbi karahat for these things. Make my nature, my tabiya, my mizaj such that I feel repugnance when I think about these things, when I think about sin or fisk or vulgarity or obscenity or unbelief. So this is the month we can make this dua to Allah Ta'ala, that Allah, beautify my heart with iman, with the barakat of iman, with the sweetness of iman. Allah, make iman the most beautiful thing in my heart. Allah, make me love iman, make me love you more than any other love that I have. Make me craze for you more than any other craze that I have. Make me increase me in my yearning for you more than any other yearning that I have. Allah, make your love the dominant love in my heart more than anything else. The Prophet ﷺ used to make this dua that Allahumma jal hubbaka ilayya min nafsi wa ahli wa mali wa waladi wa min al ma'il baridi ala dhamai. That, oh Allah, make your love more beloved to me, more intense for me, greater for me than the love for my own nafs, for my own desires, number one. More beloved to me than the love for my parents. More beloved to me than the love for my spouse. More beloved to me than the love for my children. More beloved to me, mali, than the mal and wealth of this dunya. More beloved to me, min al ma'il baridi ala zamai, than cold water at a time when I'm extremely thirsty. And when you're extremely thirsty, what you want is cold water that's very beloved to you. And look at the andaz of making dua. The Prophet is saying, Allah, make your love more beloved to me, even more beloved than that cold water at a time when I'm extremely thirsty. So inshallah, if we can begin to feel this lazzat and sweetness of iman, when this enters into our heart, then that's beyond description. Insan mazay mein, you enjoy that life. Anything can be happening in the world around you, inside your mazay mein, you're enjoying, right? And this is the mazza, the enjoyment that is coming because of your relationship with Allah. This is that mazza which, if people were to know, none of the treasures of the dunya can buy this mazza, can buy this sweetness and lazza that a person feels in their heart. The heart Allah has given us to be able to feel this lazzat that comes when a person has a taluk with Allah. So may Allah Ta'ala grant all of us the tawfiq that in this month of Ramadan, may we be able to feel the sweetness of ibadah. May Allah Ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq ki hum Allah Ta'ala ko paane wale ban jaye. We can get to Allah Ta'ala in this month. Allah Ta'ala ko chahane wale ban jaye. We can begin to desire Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala ka mahabub ban jaye. We can become the lovers and the beloveds of Allah. This is real life. This is life. This is zindagi. Everything else is sharmindagi. Everything else is embarrassment. If we don't have Allah, you can have everything in the dunya, but we lost the greatest thing, the greatest being, the greatest happiness, the greatest sweetness, the greatest joy that Allah Ta'ala has kept in this dunya, which is taluk with Him. So this is real zindagi. We can become people who desire Allah, Allah ke chahne wale ban jaye, Allah ke paane wale ban jaye, Allah ke maanne wale ban jaye, Allah ke paane wale ban jaye. So we make dua to Allah Ta'ala that may Allah Ta'ala grant all of us the tawfiq to be able to do amal on these teachings. Wa akhiru da'wana anilhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. سبحان ربي العلي الوهاب اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين يا الله يا رب كريم يا رب كريم في طريق وقت قريب الله آپ کے پیارے محبوب صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے فرمایا کہ اس وقت میں انسان جو دعائیں مانگتا ہے اللہ آپ قبول فرما لیتے ہیں یا رب کریم اپنی رحمت سے ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما دیجئے یا رب کریم جو گناہ کیے اللہ سب کو معاف فرما دیجئے اللہ جو گناہ یاد ہے ان کو معاف فرما جو گناہ کر کے بھول گئے اللہ ان کو معاف فرما اللہ جو گناہ ارادے سے کیے ان کو معاف فرما جو بلا ارادے کی کیے ان کو معاف فرما یا رب کریم ہماری نگاہوں کو پاک فرما ہمارے دلوں کو صاف فرما ہمارے سینوں کو اپنی محبت سے لبریز فرما یا اللہ یا رب کریم اپنی رحمت سے اللہ اپنی عشق کی محبت کی آتش ہمارے سینوں میں پیدا فرما اللہ ہمارے انگ انگ سے اپنی محبت کو جاری فرما ہمارے روئے روئے سے اپنی محبت اپنے ذکر کو جاری فرما اللہ ہماری ہڈی ہڈی بوٹی بوٹی اپنی محبت عطا فرما یا رب کریم یا اللہ ہمارے دلوں کے اندر اپنی محبت کو بھر دیجئے اللہ غیر کی محبتوں کو دل سے نکال دیجئے یا رب کریم اپنی محبت کے اندر ہمیں شدت نصیب فرما محبت کے اندر رسوخ عطا فرما اللہ محبت کے اندر دوام عطا فرما یا رب کریم محبت کے اندر یکسوئی نصیب فرما یا رب کریم رحمتوں کے ساتھ اللہ اپنے محبین محبوبین مندوں میں شامل فرما اپنے مقربین مندوں میں شامل فرما یا رب کریم یا اللہ رحمتوں کا مہینہ ہے رحمتوں کا عشرہ ہے اللہ اپنی رحمت کے صدقے یا اللہ اللہ ہمیں بھی اپنے چاہنے والوں میں شامل فرما اللہ اپنی چاہت نصیب فرما اپنا تعلق نصیب فرما اپنا تعارف نصیب فرما اپنی محبت اور معرفت نصیب فرما اللہ اپنا مشاہدہ عطا فرما یا رب کریم یا اللہ اللہ جو مانگا ہے اللہ وہ بھی نصیب فرما اللہ جو مانگنا چاہیے تھا نہیں مانگ سکے اللہ وہ بھی نصیب فرما اللہ ہم نے بڑوں سے سنا ہے اللہ یہ محبت کی آگ خود لگتی نہیں ہے لگائی جاتی ہے یا رب کریم آپ ہمارے سینوں کے اندر اس محبت کو جلا دیجئے اللہ ہمیں اپنا بنا دیجئے اللہ سر کے بالوں سے لے کے پیر کے ناخنوں تک اللہ ہمیں اپنا اپنی مرضی کے مطابق بنا دیجئے اللہ ایسا بنا دیجئے کہ آپ کو پسند آ جائیں یا رب کریم ایمان کی محبت ہمارے دلوں کے اندر اتار دیجئے اللہ ایمان کو ہمارے دلوں میں سما دیجئے اللہ اپنی محبت کو ہمارے دلوں پہ چھا دیجئے یا رب کریم رحمتوں والا معاملہ فرما دیجئے یا رب کریم یا اللہ اللہ ایمان کی محبت عطا فرما اللہ جو مکروہات شریعت ہیں اللہ ان کو مکروہات طبیعہ بنا دیجئے اللہ جو چیزیں ہم کو پسند نہیں ہیں اللہ ان کو ہماری بھی ناپسند بنا دیجئے ہمیں بھی ان چیزوں کے خلاف کراہت عطا فرما دیجئے ہمیں شرع صدر عطا فرما دیجئے ہمارے سینوں کو پاک کر دیجئے ہمارے دلوں کو صاف کر دیجئے ہمارے نفس کا تزکیہ فرما دیجئے اللہ آپ مزکی حقیقی ہیں اللہ ہمارے نفس کا تزکیہ فرما دیجئے اللہ ہمارے نفس کو پاک کر دیجئے ہماری سوچ کو پاک کر دیجئے ہمارے سینوں کو صاف کر دیجئے یا رب کریم یا اللہ آپ کے پیارے محبوب صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے فرمایا کہ اللہ ہمارا دل آپ کی دو انگلیوں کے درمیان ہے یو کل لبہا کیف یشا آپ جہاں چاہیں ہمارے دل کو بدل سکتے ہیں پھیر سکتے ہیں اللہ ہمارے دل کو اپنی محبت کی طرف پھیر دیجئے اللہ ہمارے دل کو دین کی طرف پھیر دیجئے اللہ ہمارے دل کو نیکی اور تقوی اور طہارت کی طرف پھیر دیجئے اللہ ہمارے دل کو یہ اللہ اطاعت اور عبادت کی طرف پھیر دیجئے یا رب کریم رحمت کی نظر اللہ ہمارے دلوں پہ ڈال دیجئے محبت کی نظر ہمارے دلوں پہ ڈال دیجئے یا رب کریم یا اللہ رحمتوں والا معاملہ فرما دیجئے اللہ ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما اللہ ہماری خطاؤں کو درگزر فرما اللہ آپ کریم ہیں اللہ اپنے کرم سے ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما ان اللہم انک عفو کریم تحب العفو فاعف عنا اللهم انك عفو كريم تحب العفو فاعف عنا یا رب کریم رحمتوں کے ساتھ ہماری ان دعاؤں کو قبول فرما اللہ جو مانگا ہے وہ بھی نصیب فرما اللہ آنے والے وقت کو اللہ گزرے وقت سے بہتر فرما آنے والی زندگی کو گزری ہوئی زندگی کا کفارہ بنا اللہ آنے والے دنوں کو اللہ پچھلے دنوں سے بہتر فرما اللہ जब इस दुनिया से रुखसत होने का वक्त आए, अल्लाह उस दिन को हमारे हमारी ज़िंदगी का सबसे खुशियों भरा दिन बना। अल्लाह इस हाल में रुखसत फरमा, अल्लाह कि आप हमसे राज़ी हों, हम आपसे राज़ी हों। अल्लाह आप हमें देख के मुस्करा रहे हों, हम आपको देख के मुस्करा रहे हों। या रब करीम, हमारे तमाम दुश्मनों से हमारी हिफाजत फरमा। अल्लाह नफ्स और शैतान की दुश्मनी से हमारी हिफाजत फरमा। अल्लाह इनके मकर और धोखों से हमारी हिफाजत फरमा। अल्लाह इनके धोखों से हमारी हिफाजत फरमा। हम सब की अल्लाह हिफाजत फरमा। या रब करीम, या अल्लाह दुनिया और अल्लाह मखलूक से हमारी हिफाजत फरमा। दुनिया और मखलूक के शर से हमारी हिफाजत फरमा। या रब करीम, हम भी यही दुआ मांगते हैं, रब्बना आतना फिद दुनिया हसना व फिल आखिरती हसना वकिना अज़ाब अन्नार। या रब करीम, दीन और दुनिया की जितनी हसनात हैं अल्लाह हमें अता फरमा, जितनी खैर वाली चीज़ें हमें अता फरमा, अल्लाह जितनी आफियत वाली चीज़ें हमें अता फरमा, अल्लाह जितनी खैरों का सवाल, अल्लाह जितनी खैरें आपके प्यारे महबूब नबी अलैहिस्सलाम ने आपसे मांगी, अल्लाह एक एक खैर का अल्लाह हम आपसे सवाल करते हैं। अल्लाह हमें भी आफियत वाली ज़िंदगी नसीब फरमा, दीन में आफियत अता फरमा, खैरें अता फरमा, बरकतें अता फरमा। अल्लाह रिस्क में बरकतें अता फरमा, कामों में बरकतें अता फरमा। अल्लाह इल्म और अमल में बरकतें अता फरमा। अल्लाह अपनी सेहत में बरकतें अता फरमा, वक्त में बरकतें अता फरमा। अल्लाह जितनी नेमतें आपने दी हैं, अल्लाह हर नेमत में अल्लाह में बरकतें नसीब फरमा। अल्लाह कदम कदम अपनी बरकतें शामिल हाल फरमा। अल्लाह कभी भी अपने दर से दूर ना फरमा, कभी भी बेसहारा ना फरमा। या रब करीम, हमेशा अपनी पुश्त पनाही नसीब फरमा। अल्लाह हमेशा अपनी पुश्त पनाही हमें अता फरमा, हमेशा अपने दर से हमें मांगने की तौफीक नसीब फरमा। या रब करीम, अपनी रहमतों से हमारी इन दुआओं को कबूल फरमा। जो मांगना चाहिए तो नहीं मांग सके, ये अल्लाह अपनी रहमत से वो भी अता फरमा, अपनी शान करीमी के मुताबिक अता फरमा। अल्लाह हातिम ताई के पास आया, किसी ने उससे 5 दीनार मांगे थे, उसने 5,000 दीनार दे दिए। पूछने वाले ने पूछा कि उसने तो 5 मांगे, आपने 5,000 दे दिए। उसने जवाब दिया कि उसने अपनी इस्तेआत के मुताबिक मांगा, मैंने उसको अपनी शान के मुताबिक अता किया। या रब करीम, आपकी शान करीमी तो बहुत है, अल्लाह अपनी शान करीमी के मुताबिक हमें अता फरमा दीजिए। हमें मांगना नहीं आता, तरीका नहीं आता, सलीका नहीं आता। रब करीम, अपनी रहमत से हमें अता फरमा दीजिए। रब्बना तकब्बल मिन्ना इन्नका अंतस समीउल अलीम व तुब अलैना इन्नका अंतत तव्वाबुर रहीम व सल्लल्लाहु तआला अला हबीबिही खैर खल्किही मुहम्मदिन व अला आलिही व सहबिही अजमईन برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.